Michelle, are there vacancies open right now?
One, with the county.
Okay. So it's...
And Harry is in California.
Okay. So Dale, Ron Boyer, Gilbert, Tracy Stig, and Wilbur. Here. So the first thing, I just want to make, we're going to change the agenda slightly. Okay, well that's good. Maybe it's because it's all coming into me. We're going to make a couple of changes on the agenda. If it's all right, we're going to move the town of Coopville's discussion, the one application or for the town of Coopville to the end, is if that works. Okay. And then also we're going to give, we'll start with that, we're going to give a chance for any public input. And Ron Van Dyke has joined us now also. So so before we begin anything else, is there anybody from the public who would wish to speak? And if so, maybe move up to the podium and identify yourself.
Hi, I'm Ken Picard, Coopville. Thank you all for serving on this committee. I really appreciate what you do. And I just wanted to comment. I've been wanting to get down here, and I just haven't done it. This has to do with permits that have already been granted. My neighbor is Jay Roberts, and he's had two projects recently at his house. One was his large metal building that was the earlier project, and the second one was his horse barn. And what I want to encourage you to do is think about roofing materials, for one thing, because it's a big metal barn, which is perched on the top of Virtual Ridge, Virtual Road, has, and according to him, you all insisted that he put this galvanized rippled metal roof on it instead of a painted roof. And the thing sticks out like a sore thumb. I don't know if any of you ever see it, but when you come on the highway over the crest of the hill and drop into Evie's Prairie on a clear day, you'll see this, what looks like a parabolic mirror on the top of the ridge over there, and it's visible from all over the Bluff Trail and the Cemetery Trail and the prairie and all over the prairie. And I know that historically, buildings, barns particularly, have that type of roofing. And I think that may be why you think that is okay. But my view is that new construction in the reserve should blend in and be invisible as much as possible, as opposed to historic structures. And, for example, my neighbors on the Rubel Farm have the same kind of roofing, but it's old and it's weathered and it's rusted and it's orange and dull, and it doesn't reflect. But this thing reflects a huge amount. I've asked him to paint it. I've offered to pay the cost of having it painted. It would take about 2 hours to spray paint it brown and the thing would disappear. Anyway, my point is that when you have a building application in a prominent view shed, that you be more careful about the roof colors and dwelling color, the structure too, but not just the roof, but that particular one sticks out. It's an eyesore. It bothers people, and I think you could have done better on that. The other point is that his horse barn is tall. It's very tall, and it's visible from Fort Casey Road, and it didn't need to be visible from Fort Casey Road. If it had been about 10 feet shorter, it wouldn't have been visible at all. But the top of it is, and I'm encouraging you to be more sympathetic to ridge lines. And what happens on in view sheds on natural ridge lines. And so that's just something I know when they built the houses up at Roberta's property in front of the Jacob Eby house, that was a big deal, so that none of the roof lines would stick up above the top of that ridge and impair the views of the Jacob Eby house. And that was a big deal when all those houses were built, that they be below the crest of the ridge. That's all I have, and thank you for what you're doing and for allowing me to speak.
Mr. Clark, can I ask you to sign in on the
sure.
Thank you.
Okay, well, Well, thank you for that input. I just want to, maybe it's inappropriate, but just to assure you, there was nobody that insisted that a shiny galvanized roof would have been used.
Yeah, I asked him, I said, why you put a brown roof on the barn that would be galvanized? That's what he told us.
And we are sympathetic to that, but
yeah,
we appreciate your comments, and they'll be taken into consideration when we...
Great.
Chairman?
Thank you.
I don't remember ever seeing this side of these two barns.
Well, just drive town to Coopville on a sunny day. Take a look.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're on.
Michelle, yeah, this is a good question, because I had to look that up at one other time.
Both of those buildings, they come here, but with public testimony, it's just an opportunity to speak, and then, or have the person speak, and then we can provide comments later, but this is an appropriate time to speak. And I know we have a full agenda, so I don't want to distract from our agenda.
Thank you, Michelle. And I thought so, but I just wanted to make sure that we weren't, you know, on record as insisting. So, next item is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Are there any additions or corrections or changes to those minutes before us?
I have one small correction. I was promoted at the end of February, so my title is now senior planner.
Thank you. Any other corrections, additions? Okay.
We have a correction to the approval of the minutes section on line 27. The staff report represented should read COA-003-16, not 007.
Okay, thank you. And that correction will be made. Any others? And if not, I'd entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes. What was the date of that meeting?
The draft minutes that you just voted on are the March 24th meeting. The staff report in question is from the February 25th meeting.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the March 24th meeting.
With corrections?
With corrections. All those in favor, raise your hand. Those opposed? And it's approved. Okay, so moving on, we're going to do the county applications first, and we will start with EBY-16-1013. And we start with the staff report on that.
Ryan Miller, the property owner, seeks a certificate of appropriateness for a two-car garage with a first and second story addition. The property location is on Pencove Road within Design Review Area 1, just south of the Rolling Hill subdivision. Subject property is not located near any historic buildings. Here are some images of the existing building. Different elevations in north, south, and west. The addition will be seen from the public right-of-way. And however, the addition, it is a shoreline property, and the addition will not be visible from the shoreline. Included in the application were some images of neighboring properties. This is just highlighting that when we look at the next slide, that how the building is going to be, how the addition and garage are designed, are not going to be out of character with the surrounding neighborhood. So here are some elevations of the building as proposed. And I have some information on the type of material that will be used. So currently, the house is green. It will be gray hardy plank composite with brown wood shingles. And the garage, though is on the front of the building. It has now been oriented to face the side, so the facade won't be dominated by the two garage doors. So, after review of the guidelines, as indicated in the staff report, the project meets the guidelines with style, material, and massing, and staff recommends approval as proposed.
Okay, thank you. This meeting, I realized I was going to chair about 30 seconds before the meeting, so I was a little unprepared. But just so the folks understand, we'll have staff report, we'll have questions from the commission to the staff, and we'll have the applicant an opportunity to speak and questions, and then if there's anybody else from the public who wants to speak on that, then they'll have that opportunity. And so, very good. So, commissioners, you have any?
No, one question about the setback to the garage on the roadside of the house now. Is a setback from the road match the neighborhood?
That I didn't look, but I think it does, yes. I would imagine so. But I don't have a definitive answer. Maybe Brian would be able to answer that when he steps up to speak.
Okay, any other questions from the commission to the staff? If not, is the applicant here and wish to speak? Please identify yourselves.
Good afternoon, Board. I'm Brian Miller from 1607 Pinnacook Road. To answer your question, sir, the setback is as within the county guidelines, and the one neighboring house that does have a garage, that actually does have the garage doors facing forward, it would be approximately in line with that. So the only other things I would add is, we tried hard to keep the profile of the house from the street so you really wouldn't see an appreciable difference. And it's essentially, the house was built in 1964, and as far as I can tell, three separate additions. So it's kind of got the termite mound thing going at this point. And the goal is to try and tie it together as best as we can and make it look like a normal house. So, entertain any questions if you have any.
Okay, does staff have any questions about that?
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to comment on the project? If not, is there any discussion from the commissioners? If there's not general discussion, I would entertain a motion on it, and we could discuss the motion.
Well, I would like to put a motion forward to accept this certificate of approval from the county as recommended by the staff. Project, and I think it fits in well with the neighboring properties and structures, and it's well done.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Opposed?
Approved.
Moving on to next item is EBR-16-014, and we'll start with the staff's presentation on it.
Get this as close as possible here. It's a proposed new house, and it's on the property is off of Jacob Road, just south of Highway 20. The existing lot is full of native vegetation. And the applicant proposes to keep majority of the vegetation on the property and clear only what is needed for the project. Proposes a one-story single-family house project that it would not be seen from the public right-of-way, which is off of Jacobs Road. And they also propose a shop that looks more like a garage with a two garage door opening. And staff finds that after reviewing the guidelines, as indicated in the staff report, the project meets the design guidelines with style, materials, and massing, and staff recommends approval. And I'm open to any questions.
Okay, commission, do we have any questions for staff?
I noticed in the material given to us, it suggests that they're colored, but they came out black and white. Are there any? Do you have a slide that exactly shows the color? Or a hard copy?
I'll pass that out. And they're proposing the house to be in different shades of gray.
50 shades of gray?
Different shades.
I know, different. We add that in.
Two
shades of gray and one white as the trim.
Okay. Colors are being passed around. Any other questions for staff on this? And if not, is the applicant here and wish to speak?
Sure.
And you could please identify yourself.
My name is Carl Yorton. We're the owners, and this is one of my 50 shades of gray right there. So anyway, I'm here to answer any questions you might have. I know we had a question about clearing the front. My wife doesn't really want to see all the traffic going by, so we plan on clearing the opening. The house will probably be visible from the road because there's already a road that was put in before we bought it. So, you know, if you look down the road, you'll see it off to the side in there. I think that's about the only thing I have, unless you have any questions.
Are there any questions from the applicant, from the commission? If not,
we're still debating between the hardy plank and cedar siding, but the colors wouldn't be any different. So it's just going to be economics at that point. You know, which one is most cost effective? I don't think that's going to change the appearance of it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Anybody from the public wish to comment? If not, any discussion, general discussion from the commission? If not, I'd entertain a motion. Still have discussion specific to the motion.
I'll move that we approve a COA for EBY 16-014 as recommended by staff.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. Is there any discussion? There is no discussion. All those in favor, can you signify by raising your hand? Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Okay, moving to the next item on the agenda is EBY-16-015. And if the staff could give us your presentation on that.
Changes to the Fisher General Store, which is located just off of Highway 20, State Route 20, and off of Petcoke Road. It's next door to the pottery, Petcoke Pottery. And this is the existing site plan. So you have Petcoke Pottery on the corner, and then this is the Fisher's general store. It was built in 1903. No, I'm sorry, 1902, and became a general store in 1903. And is a contributing, both of these are contributing structures to the inventory. This is the front facade off of Highway or State Route 20. And then this is the rear facade, the Hobby Barn, and then this is the Fisher General Store off of Petco Road. And then this is the east elevation, which I would like to correct the staff report. I don't have the staff report, the west elevation. So the applicant did provide pictures of the interior of the structure after the packet went out. So let me grab my notes here. This picture is the interior framing of a false front. And then this is within the roof of the side of the building. This is the east side, and then it also shows the covered window. And continued on with the east side with the rolling door. And then this is the interior of the false facade. And then this is a close-up of the foundation that they're proposing to alter the foundation. And then these are actually two buildings, and you should provide the small space between the two buildings. So the applicant is proposing the facade that faces State Route 20, small alteration by adding two windows. And then taking the rear facade facing Pine Cove Road and converting it back to its original storefront facade. The applicant is proposing to also change the use of this building that was a commercial space into a residential space. And then this is the east facade. And they're proposing to take the sliding glass door away and adding a man door and three windows. So with that, the staff reviewed the guidelines, but also the interior Secretary of Interior standards to this application because it is a historic building, and found that the following recommendations: that all the windows that are proposed to be a double hung, and then to redesign the fence. Solid fences are not allowed within the reserve, so they would be able to come back with a review to have a fence meet the guidelines. And then as the applicant proposes this to happen in stages, they're currently in the process of applying for a Forever EVs grant to redo the foundation, and we would want to make sure in the future what review would be needed if changes did happen. So staff recommends that minor changes, we go through the staff, and then major changes to the drawings would come back for review. And with that, I'm open for questions.
Okay. Very good. Can you tell me what the square footage of this finished structure would be?
They're not proposing to change the square footage, and I don't remember pulling that from the last review.
Roughly about 1,000 square feet, maybe 1,100 square feet.
Are you the
yes.
The owner?
Yes.
Any questions for the staff?
One question about parking.
Okay.
This is a residence, don't they require parking space? And is there space for parking here?
The code, Island County Code, requires two parking off-street parking spaces, and if they convert it from commercial, which requires more parking, to residential, the additional parking would be, no additional parking would be needed.
So where's the parking space?
It would be part of the commercial space over on the side.
Oh,
now that's, I have a driveway permit with parking off of Penn Cove Road. That's not included in my application, but that's
Are there any other, excuse me?
When you're ready for a public comment, I'll leave this stuff up and sign in.
Bring over, I'll take a question from the staff. Any other questions? I have one, and it might be, you might have said it, I might have just missed it. But in your findings, you had those recommendations. You talked about having double hung windows. All the windows, I didn't quite understand that part.
More so the ones on the east elevation.
More so. So, like on the south elevation, those windows, are there going to be windows added in that on the south?
These are, I'm not for sure what's being proposed with the smaller windows, but more, and they would be awkward if they're that small to be double hung. But on the east elevation.
And then on the south elevation is the
south elevation, what they're proposing is meeting, or trying to match what was.
So you're not suggesting double hung there?
No.
Yeah.
So that'd be a good clarification to put in those findings of fact as well.
Is there a false facade on both sides? Okay.
Well, one is poured up.
Yeah.
And then that's the false facade that happened when Highway or State Route 20 came in.
What is the scope of the project? It sounds like we're going to get into foundation work. How far do we unravel the sweater before it goes back together?
So they're proposing alterations to three of the visible sites. New roof, which wouldn't go through. If they're doing same in-kind work with the roof, they wouldn't have to go through any additional review. They're also proposing sky windows on the elevation facing the Petco pottery and a new foundation.
Would the exterior siding, are we replacing that?
They're proposing to keep as much as possible, and then if any new pieces need to come in, they're proposing as the applicant provided in the application, if I remember right without looking it up, it's a 105 type drop siding, first siding, and the closest mill around here is a 106 drop siding. So that's what they're proposing to replace if needed or as needed.
So in maybe a previous presentation, I understand that the condition of that building, it is in pretty poor condition. Is that true? The stuff like the east
the
wall?
The exterior is clearly needing some help, but interior work, it looks pretty good on the interior. I mean, this is the roof structure, and then this is the siding on the interior. But yes, there was two pre-ops that were done in 2014 reviewing what would be the process of tearing down this building, and then what kind of designs would be allowed within this area if they would rebuild it.
I guess the basis for my question was, kind of in response to Philip's question, was there are a lot of materials found. There will have to be some change in the materials just because of the deterioration.
Yeah, especially the outside of the facade.
I have a question about a couple of the materials that have been provided. There are two floor plans. There's one floor plan and then one that's labeled interior swag. And it appears that there are some differences between the two in terms of the windows located on the east side.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that when I was getting the packet together.
The elevation that's provided seems to correspond to the interior. So I just wanted to verify that that's
right.
Correct.
So So the original application that came through, they were proposing five windows on the east elevation. And that after the committee met together, found that that's too many windows on that elevation because it's meant to be a blank facade, but we also understand that adaptive reuse for the project, and the applicant came back with three windows.
Okay. Any more questions for staff? If not, is the applicant here and wish to speak? If you could sign in to identify yourself and sign in.
I'm Steve Elkman, the owner of the building.
And Steve, I have all the pictures here. Do you want to use any of those that you provided?
I guess the real issue I have, I don't know if you have any questions for me. Maybe that's a better place to start.
Okay, any of the commission have questions for?
A question, but it's a comment, but I'm impressed that you're trying to save this building.
Yeah. Most people think I'm nuts. but it's basically what I have and what I need to hold to in order to build in that area. So it's the building is interesting, but the view is what I'm looking for, and the south facade works with where the view is, so that's why the building is being returned to that era. The issue I have is that I'm strongly opposed to putting double hung windows on the east facade. The reserve guidelines, which follow the national park guidelines, call for distinctive differences between what was original and what was added. If Chris Fisher would have added windows in 1916, he would have added double hung windows. Or I guess my question is, what would Chris Fisher add in 1916? It would have been double hung windows. If it was my intention to deceive people, and I'm not saying that that's the reserve's intention, but if it was my intention to deceive people that those were original windows from that era, my question is, what kind of windows would I hang there? So, the guidelines say don't add architectural features that are deceptive about the development of the structure. Don't put it in a new era or an old era by adding new features that weren't ever there. So I don't want to be deceptive, and I don't like the idea of presenting the east facade as being original. There's, you know, the discussion goes, well, you can make other distinguishing features that say that the east facade was added in 2016 rather than 1916, but they're all trying to recompense for the idea that the double hung window is there, and now we have to find some way to explain why the double hung window is new and not old. So do you follow my logic?
I have a question on that. Was there ever a double hung window in that facility?
No. The most original window that exists is the aluminum framed casement window in the east facade, but I don't think we want to go there. And typically, I mean, double hung windows don't go into false front buildings. No windows go into false front windows or false front buildings. by adding a double hung window there, it confuses what was there at the time that the south facade is trying to go back to replicate. The south facade is going to be very closely patterned, whatever we can do to follow what the original structure was. To carry that time period around to the east facade lends to confusion about what was real, what wasn't real, when it became a resident, when it was a commercial space. So I want to be clear about that, and I'm willing to, you know, put the shape of a double hung window in there. I'm willing to space them like double hung windows might be spaced, but the actual double hung architectural, the elements of a double hung window are incredibly evocative. They place the building in a certain time period, especially as the whole thing is being reconstructed. And they lend just a confusing or a false sense of what happened.
Yeah, your comment is well taken there, and we'll come back to that. Is there any other questions?
Maybe on my question of those windows also.
I think it would be really helpful to have the reserve staff input.
We'll get to that. But any other questions for the applicant?
You have applied for an EBA server fund grant.
That's correct. I applied for a grant. It was actually for $25,000 or something to do much more what they were willing to provide and able to provide, and I'm very grateful for, is money to replace the foundation. And talking with Sarah, there's a little bit of a conflict between the grant committee's guidelines and EB Reserve guidelines and the National Park. And you want to address that?
Okay. Is it two pages? Is this an the grant application, or this is just an abstract?
I believe what you have there is pretty much the narrative that I lifted out of the grant application and put into this application.
Okay, thank you.
So again, maybe I missed something. Just to make sure, on the, and I don't know if we're really talking about that right now, but on the grant application, that is just for the foundation.
The grant is for, I think it's a $12,500 grant, so it would basically mean I'd spend up to $25,000 replacing the foundation, and I don't anticipate doing that, but as the project goes forward, the leftover money possibly could be used for a roof or something like that.
What percentage of the existing building do you believe will be retained, and or what percentage of the existing building do you think has to be replaced?
A lot has to be replaced, but there is.
I guess the question maybe is are you going to end up replicating the original building as opposed to restoring it?
Okay. Well, yeah. The EB Reserve guidelines don't actually, they reference the four different types of endeavors of working on a building. They only deal with rehabilitation. They don't talk about restoration. They don't talk about the other two. So the guidelines pretty much treat everything as a rehabilitation. Some of the things that are quoted The one in particular I'm thinking of is I won't do anything to the building that won't make it possible to return it to its original structure. Well, the original structure is long gone. I don't think anybody wants to return it to the structure, you know, the state it's in now. So basically anything I do will be pretty much new. The interior was torn out. There's no windows. I think the original false front windows were moved to the Highway 20 side at one point, and then they were torn out and sold. The rafters and the roof structure is original, but there's a lot of beetle infestation throughout the whole building. So it's pretty much a complete restoration. I wish it wasn't, but there's not really anything I can do about it.
It is what it is, and you're doing what you can. So, any other questions for that one? If not, is there anybody from the public who would wish to speak on this? Thank you, Mr. Elkin.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you want to speak. And you need to sign in.
Okay.
And identify yourself.
My name's Terry Krueger. I'm here for two purposes. Actually, this is an off-the-cuff purpose right here because I know Steve very well. Could you go back to the east elevation that showed the car in the parking lot, please? And there was a drawing, an architectural drawing.
Oh.
There it is. And Steve, is that your car now?
No.
I'm wondering where you were going to get one like that so you could, you know, actually bring it into that, that condition. He's asked me also to, as a finished carpenter, look at some of those things to be rebuilt. And my first observation was that everything that he was planning to do would be a very, very nice replication of what at least the general building would look like at a certain point to point it back to the early 1900s. So I, for one, as a community member and a friend, think that's an absolutely wonderful thing to get that working great again. So thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Sarah from the reserve. You sign in and identify yourself.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Sarah Steen. I'm the preservation coordinator for Eby's Landing National Historical Reserve, and we have a lot to talk about. I met with Steve yesterday, and I was wearing two hats, basically, because I also am the administrator of our Eby's Forever Grant Program, and Steve was awarded $12,500 specifically to work on the foundation, but how the grant program works is we look at the entire design, and he was correct in saying that we didn't have enough funding at this point to offer him the total amount that he requested for the full project, but we looked at all aspects of the project when we award the grant, because often if there is any overlay, like if the foundation only costs $20,000 and he has an extra $10,000 or $5,000, we will reallocate it to other aspects of that project. So we frequently look at the entire thing and get a good judge of what the whole plan is. The drawings that we received that we looked at, and I'm going to address the EB's reserve grant first, and then I'll get back to the guidelines, just to kind of talk about that since it's been brought up. We looked at his initial design, which had a lot more window openings in the east elevation, and we thought, according to the drawings, that they were double hung. Our request, and I never spoke to him about this because it wasn't germane to what the grant ended up being for, but was to reduce the amount of windows and to retain the style of them, to keep them basically a vertical-oriented style, openings in that side of the elevation of that building. And so when that came to the HPC, that's what we talked about. We talked about, you know, the orientation, the type of windows, the reducing the amount of glass, since that elevation traditionally was a blank wall. And that's one of the ways that it got to where it got to within the committee. Yesterday when I met with him, we had a very spirited discussion about compatibility versus distinction in historic buildings. and you've heard me say this a number of times, that I am all for subtle distinctions. I don't think that when you first look at a building, I think actually compatibility is the thing you should first see, and the distinction should be the second thing you see. I don't think it's necessary to make it very, very obvious on a first look that something is new and something is old. I think it can be made apparent in a more subtle way that works with the overall integrity of the building. But I understand his argument in the sense that he really doesn't want to feel like he's replicating something that wasn't initially there. What we ended up coming to, both as my role as a grant administrator and as an advisor for the APC, was that the openings were the important part, not necessarily the function of the window itself. And so now I'm going to bring it back to the design guidelines, which actually say nothing about window mechanics. They're talking about, if you look on page 20 and 21, section 413, numbers 4, 5, and 11 were the three that I was looking at specifically. Number 5 talks about new windows should be finished with trim elements consistent with historic dimension design character, and we've talked about that. Number 11 talks about preserving the position, number, and arrangement of original windows, which is a little bit outside of our purview since we're looking at a rehabilitation. But what I'm looking at mostly is that windows should be of a traditional size and should be placed in a similar solid-to-void relationship as on historic buildings, and that's what I think the revised design is able to achieve. I talked to him yesterday about making the window closest to SR, to State Route 20, match in size as the other two windows, and making sure that the trim is appropriate to work with that building. Everything else on this is kind of a mix between a restoration and a rehabilitation project, and that's how the design committee looked at it. He's using historic photographs to restore the storefront as close as he can. He's reusing as much of the historic material as he can use. On the west elevation, actually, most of the siding is intact. A lot of the interior structure is intact. The east elevation is in very bad shape, and so a lot of that will have to be replaced, but he's going to replace all of it in kind. It will match what's there. The only conflict, and there isn't really a conflict, is that the design committee uses a stricter understanding of the Secretary of Interior guidelines. And we can do this in part because this is a voluntary program and we're giving people money. And so we set a fairly strict standard of how we choose to do that. Our design guidelines for the HBC are based on those same standards. So there's no real conflict between the two, but there are a number of things in the actual interpretation of the guidelines as they are written that might be different than those that how we understand it within the committee. And so I wanted to clarify that it's not really a conflict as a matter of interpretation and use. So, does anyone have any questions?
Could you give me those paragraph numbers again, please?
Sure. I was looking specifically at 413 under windows, number 4, number 5, and number 11. But again, we're also considering a rehab project and not necessarily a replacement or a restoration in this side because this elevation was a blank wall.
Sarah, I'm a little confused about the condition requiring the double hung windows. Because your comments now sound to me like you're more concerned about the proportions of the windows than the function of the windows.
Yes.
So that's not necessarily a condition that you would demand.
I tried to explain how it came up, but it came up because there was talk about it because we were looking at it from an HPC perspective in terms of what would be most appropriate in this rehab? What would be most traditional to the buildings of that era, that kind of thing? And I was of the opinion that compatibility came first, distinction came later. I also thought on his original design that he had double-hung windows in there, and so when it came up that he changed the style of window, we noticed about it. But there's nothing in the guidelines that say specifically you have to have double hung windows. So I'm clarifying that point, basically. I think the important element is how it's arranged and the relationship with the wall and the window itself and the vertical orientation.
So looking at what's being proposed here, what are your objections?
He and I talked about the two windows on the far side being a little bit more narrow, perhaps, but they mostly fit what we've discussed, and making sure that the trim was appropriate to what it needed to be. I also talked about the window on the right side in here matching the other two in terms of size and orientation. We don't actually know if the south, the elevation on the side of the State Route 20 ever had windows in it. We have no picture of that. But almost all of the windows, and this is something I'm going to correct, all of the buildings on Front Street had double-hung windows in the back. So it's not correct to say that false front buildings didn't have them. There are a lot of blank walls, but if windows went in, they were double-hung. And that's one of the ways that we reached this conclusion. Plus, the committee, which isn't related to the HBC, would probably... We are already asking another one of our grantees to replace windows with double-hung windows. But that isn't a guideline thing. That's a voluntary program.
Any other questions?
Is there a middle ground that you think we should be coming to for this window issue?
I think we've gotten pretty close to it already.
Okay, I don't know what it is.
My recommendation in this case would be to ensure that the trim matches what it needs to match, that the window on the right side here matches the size of the other two. I'm not concerned about function as much as I'm concerned about arrangement and relationship between that and the remainder of the structure.
So you're saying that a vertically oriented rectangular window with or without a center style,
if you have a center style, it needs to be a little heavier to make it look like a gang of two windows. I mean, that's kind of what Steve and I talked about.
But are you requesting a style, a horizontal break in the window?
No.
To mimic double?
No, I am not. Absolutely not.
So it could be just an entire pane of glass, and that would be acceptable.
It's the opening that I'm concerned about here.
Yeah, not the functionality of the window.
And I'm trying to be careful, and I keep crossing this line, because I'm having two different conversations with Steve. I'm having, you know, as a grantee, I'm having one conversation, and here I'm having another, so I need to be careful about that. But I know that he is going to be applying for future grants, and so additional work will have to meet our standards as well.
So, Sarah, I think for our business here, it's not the grant, what you're trying to decide on the grant. It's more
right.
Whether
this meets the grant. He's also likely applying, or perhaps applying for special evaluation, so you'll see this as a project as well under that.
And so we've talked a little bit, and just for clarity here, what we're seeing in front of us, is this what the applicant is proposing, and is there any issue with this?
My only issue with this would be primarily that third window. But the guidelines that I'm looking at that everybody should be discussing are 4, 5, and 11 under the window section. Because I think those are the most germane.
In other words, the recommendation that we have a condition that the double hung is no longer an issue.
I don't see it in the design guidelines as a defensible change.
Okay.
Any other questions for Sarah? Thank you. And any other comments from the public? Mr. Elkema,
may I clarify a couple of things? I apologize for the confusion that I've caused, because my architect drew the lines in those windows and suddenly they became double-hung windows. The one on the far left is a fixed pane window. The next one over is a casement window. Those are actually two different windows. They can be separated and moved apart in that as they're separated, they become more like double hung windows as far as their profile. I think the proposal or the change or whatever is for three windows. There's actually, what's up there is actually five windows. The two on the left-hand side, or the four on the left-hand side, are 5 foot by 2 foot windows. And my intention is to separate those somewhat. The one on the far right is a bedroom window, and the only reason I put a slider there is because that's what I had available, and that met code. But I'm open to a narrower window as long as it meets code as far as a sleeping room. Does that kind of clarify what we're talking about?
Sure.
If I understand that, the only sliding window is the one on the right-hand side, the little one?
Yes, that's the only sliding window, and that would be placed as a casement window that could meet code as far as the sleeping area. The other four windows, two of them are fixed pane, two of them are casement windows. That becomes an issue of what I need to do to meet code in ventilation. There is a reference to a sliding glass door. That's not a sliding glass door. That's an inset area where the right above where it says side elevation, that's an inset area in the plan. I think it shows up in the floor plan where there would be a door that would be hidden from sight. The big issue is there's 40, 50 mile an hour winds throughout the winter, and you wouldn't be able to get into the front door. The old pictures of the front door actually see a shed door in front of the glass storefront. In a long range view, that's essentially why Coopville is Coopville and Santa Cuca is no more. It's not a nice environment. It's not a calm environment throughout the winter. There's a lot of south wind off Penn Cove, and it hits directly on that storefront.
So, just so I understand, the door there is, that's not really a door, it's just opening into a protected area where there would be a door inside.
Yes.
The protected area.
Yeah. The door would be, I think there's a little kind of an arrow on the plan that points where the door is, but I need a protected area to go inside the home, so there would be a porch within the profile, within the space of the original structure, that would provide a sheltered place to open the door. Thanks. Any other questions? For me, at least.
I have a question. I think this is maybe for Steph, though.
But Steph, do you have a question?
Yeah, real quick one. So, my understanding of what you just said is that you were willing to change the proportions of the window in the bedroom to more of a taller, narrower window as long as you can get it to meet the code requirements.
Yeah. The casement windows I have, I think code says I need 20 inches for 22 inches, and the casement windows pivot, and I end up with like 19.
Okay, question for staff.
This window issue it seems to be fluid at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that we will be voting on today for this that is not fluid?
So with the motion that you that could be proposed is to strike off that condition and just keep it. It's a minor change, so like if they enlarge the window size on the one that's going to be for the bedroom, that would be a minor change that staff could approve off of.
So
and that would be covered already.
Staff recommendation is this window issue included in staff recommendation in here?
At this point, with what I've heard at the hearing, I would propose to delete the second condition.
Okay, any other questions? Ron?
This is probably for staff, too. It seems to me that there's a lot of issues associated with this, and the project, I'm sure Steve wants to get it moving fast as possible, but I'm just wondering if maybe we shouldn't ask for a delay and have a concrete rendering of that facade come back before us at the next meeting and vote on the overall project, which I think is Steve has a very good project going there, and I would propose final rendering of that side of the building, since that will be pretty much visible from Penn Cove Road and a bit in the highway. Quite a bit in the highway.
So, Ron, we can talk about that and discuss that if we close this. Before that, is there anybody else from the public that wishes to speak on this? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing part of this. Then we...
I'm not adverse to what Ron's proposal as far as that. So you can work that out. I'm not adverse to going back, clarifying some issues, and then giving you something to vote on. You're a little bit more clear.
Thank you. Okay, the public hearing portion of this is closed, so we won't take any more input. And so Ron has a discussion there about he would like to delay this. Is there anybody else who would have general discussion?
On the paragraph in here, paragraph number 10 of the windows, it says, in historic buildings, avoid modern window types. That's contradictory, and I understand what the applicant was talking about initially about wanting to not mimic history. But here in the HPC guidelines, it says, in historic buildings, which this is, avoid modern window types, which that tells me that we should have double hung windows, even though the logic that he talks about has sense. But then that's the point we can discuss next month.
We'll discuss this, and the situation is, I don't see how we can say that this building can have any double hung window. It never did have a double hung window, and it had windows in it. I would be more inclined to request that the windows be more similar to the what I call the south facade, the water side facade, than a double hung window. And I think it would be inappropriate to ask somebody to put a double hung window in a building, a historic building, that never had a double hung window. That seems, because across the bay, there was lots of windows that weren't double hung, just because downtown Coopville might have had a lot of double hung windows. There's other places, including this building in itself, that did not. So
I think there can be exceptions made, and I think in this case, I don't think a double hung window should be required.
Ron?
I'd like to make a comment about the historic nature of these false fronted buildings. There's a prime example, one in Oak Harbor, which is the Mailer Building. There was the Mailer Building. Dock Street used to be the street leading out to the wharf. And, on the east elevation of that building, there are several double-hung windows in there. But that building had been altered quite a few times, so it isn't really pertinent to this because we're not discussing that particular building. But as an example, for anyone that might want to take a look at that, certainly it stands out there. And you can see double-hung windows in that particular building. And that building was initially built in 1893, and this is a somewhat newer building, but they all fall in that era. And anyway, that's my comment to support double hung windows or the equivalent of them. So the rest would be up to Steve to what he and his team can do.
Can I move to table this until the May meeting and we get new renderings and maybe the window issue can be discussed further? It seems like we're kind of just all talking ourselves in circles, double hung, not double hung. And I think like the trim and the size, it might be good to get that clarified. That was a debate and a motion, sorry.
Okay, so there's a motion. Does anybody want to second that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Is there a discussion on that motion? I have discussion on it. I believe that we have a proposal in front of us, and I believe there was one condition on double hung windows that seemed to be an issue. I think staff has actually recommended that it remove that condition. Reserve staff was not able to really support double hung windows there. And I don't see why we want to delay this without first taking a vote on whether we can approve or disapprove the project that came to us. I think that's kind of preliminary to put that first.
Can I comment to that? I hear everything you're saying. I agree. I think that what I'm hearing is that we're as much concerned about the size and shape of the right window as we are about its operations style. And so the question, I think, from the reserve was, do we make that a larger window? Do we require that to be a more vertical window, or do we not require that to be a more vertical window? And I think there was some discussion that we might do that. We might suggest that window needs to be re-engineered to be more vertical as opposed to caring about double hung, which does seem to be something that we're stuck on.
So so
the question for me is do we have a square or a vertically oriented rectangular window on the right side, which seems to be one of the things that reserve is like this.
So what we have done is we have an issue here that maybe the double hung part of it really, I sense that we don't need to have that as a condition. There is some question on the size of that window. As a commission here, we haven't even discussed that issue. But now there's a motion in a second to delay it for a month without us even discussing that issue. Maybe we have discussion and you can come to a conclusion that we want to add a condition to what's already before us, or maybe we'll decide that window is just fine with minor changes that need to be made with the staff that don't need to come to us. So that's my discussion on this motion. Is there any other discussion?
Both sides of the discussion.
Is there any other discussion on the motion to delay this review of this project?
I would prefer not to delay it if we could, but if that's something we can all come to agreement on today, then we would delay.
So,
the motion has been made. I think we have to vote on that, and I believe the motion has been made. So.
That's right. We have to. And so, those in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand.
To delay?
Yeah, the motion.
Table, not delay, table.
Okay, table. Those opposed? Okay, motion fails. I think that.
I'm sorry, I have to leave.
What, are you going to run now?
I know, yeah. My first one, it didn't work out. I'm going to take off. No, I'm sorry, I have another engagement that I have to go to, but I can just interject really fast not to get us on topic. I was able to go to Revitalize Washington this last week in Chelan, and it was just really great to kind of be around other Main Street. I know we're not necessarily a Main Street group, but to talk to other communities who are really trying to develop a Main Street, and it was really great to be from Coopville and the reserve and see that we have such kind of a cool thing established and really helping to preserve our authenticity and tourism. And I just wanted to applaud us for that. We got our little letters for volunteering, so to add another little excitement to that. And again, I apologize that I have to take off, but good luck with this one.
Tracy sees that the heat's on now, so she's out.
Sorry.
Okay, so, we can continue to discuss this generally, or I would entertain a motion on the issue that we can discuss specifically. Anyway.
Maybe I'm the only one who's got hung up on these modern windows, but if I think about Front Street in Coopville and having a building in Front Street that had a modern-looking window in the side of it, whatever the modern is, I think it distracts. I think that's a powerful statement there when it talks about not having modern-looking windows in his building.
Ron, though, I think that if you read all the way through item number 10 in the guidelines, I think there's additional information in there and that it says avoid modern window types such as picture windows or sliding glass doors on the main facade unless they were original to the building.
And I agree with that. That's fully. But on this building, because it's the location, the east facade is. It's very visible to Highway 20. You're coming down and you're seeing that more than the front facade. So
right, I would argue that it's still not a main facade.
Ron, I'm at, I got a question on this discussion. I'm seeing a picture in front of me. Are those modern windows? I guess I don't quite follow what we're talking about. Are these? How are these going to be identified or characterized as modern windows?
Mr. Chairman, may I? There is a color rendering in the application that shows the windows that are proposed to be used, and I think that would clarify whether those would be considered modern or traditional.
Michelle, is that what that picture is?
Are those commercially available for use?
You can't tell if they're modern or old.
Yeah, if that's. May I ask Scott a question? Can we do that?
Sure.
Scott, like to explain this bit.
You can always open the hearing again.
I don't understand.
I guess we need to know if these windows are what are being proposed, or if it's just an idea, or...
Yeah, you hung up on modern versus old.
I don't even know if those are modern or old, though. I don't know. We'll open it for one question to the staff about the picture that is in the packet that has been given to us on the windows. Is this supposed to be representing what is going on, or is this...
Those are the windows that he's proposing, yes, and... I believe, if I remember talking to Steve correctly, that they're older windows.
Except there's no, we're not talking about the horizontal one. There's a window that's horizontal.
So I believe the arrows are showing the direction of how they would be placed in the building.
May I ask if these are the actual windows he's proposing?
That's my understanding from talking to him.
But there's no vertical or no horizontal window in the proposal.
He's going to propose it.
Yeah. Now I understand the question or the picture. Okay, thank you, staff. Closed. That portion is closed. So.
I'm getting so confused.
Mine doesn't have arrow now.
Oh, you didn't know
arrows. What it means.
Oh, here.
Yeah.
Something of the fact that they are compatible with historic windows. windows that are compatible with historic windows rather than making sure we're not aluminum glass lighting type of window or something that's...
That would be vital. When you say compatible with historic windows, you mean proportion-wise, because that seemed to be the biggest issue.
Style?
Style meaning what?
Yeah. Proportion. Aluminum windows would not be appropriate in that to have
some... Oh, material then.
Material and size. They'd be compatible.
But style, when you say style, style to me means double versus case.
Crank up windows. Casement windows. Mm-hmm. To me, they're not historic.
But the proportion could be historic.
Right. Yeah.
Proportion could be, yes.
We could add that as part of a motion, you know, change up the double hump.
Can I address the commission as a member of the committee, as a staff member?
Well, you're not a member of the commission, and we could open it for you to come in, and we will do that one last time.
Okay.
I open this for comment from Sarah.
Thank you. I asked to address it as a member of the advisory committee, not as a public member. That was what I was asking. I just want to address the window type discussion. Casement windows actually are historic, as are fixed windows. They're more talking about the array of glass, like a large picture window. But there are plenty of historic examples of casement windows, hopper windows. There's a lot of different types of windows that are historic. Double hung is not the only type of historic window there is, and so I really needed to clear that up. It's more orientation, size, verticality, things like that that define, especially material. A wood clad casement window is absolutely historically available. So I just needed to clear that up. When window types, they're not really talking about that. There are a lot of different mechanisms that are traditional to historic windows.
Thank you. Well, we have this sort of open, if I may ask a question of staff.
Okay.
We'll do that. I'm so confused. This well-photographed set of windows, are these the proposed actual windows that we're discussing here today? Or are these just...
Do you want the applicant to respond to that?
I'm not sure who. I would have thought Scott.
That would be better for the applicant to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody agrees. Could the applicant clarify the picture that has been presented to us, whether it's actual windows or a type of window?
They are the actual windows that I, at this point, that I own. I paid $250 for probably 15 windows. They're thermal pane wood windows. Very nondescript. I tried to photograph them, and they don't photograph well. I just get a picture of myself standing in front of a window with a camera. As far as vertical orientation, the majority of them are 5 foot by 7 foot. So, I'm sorry, 2 foot by 7 foot. So they're 2 foot horizontally, 5 foot vertically. So in the picture there, you see four of them on the left-hand side.
So that would be the windows on the left. The one on the right is something else.
The one on the right would be a... casement window or a hopper window or something that would meet code. I'd have to find another window that would go there. It would not be a slider.
So you're, if I may ask a question, you're not necessarily proposing that window. You're okay with changing the shape and size of this bedroom window?
Absolutely.
Because you don't own it yet, and you need a bigger window for egress for emergency.
Well, we're talking about the bedroom window?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm 63 years old. I need to have a window that I can get out if the house starts on fire, you know.
You better put it down on the ground then.
No. So we're back again to the shape and size of the right-hand window. It seems to be the issue.
Okay, well...
Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Basically, that needs to meet code.
Correct.
So that's, you know, the shape and the size of it are kind of out of my hands. It's a code issue as far as...
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to...
I'm on the motion.
I'm going to close yeah. the public portion one more time.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve an application certificate of appropriateness for this process with the condition 1 and 3 and eliminate the one about the new windows having being double hung.
A motion.
So if the conditions are the work approved by this decision, condition number one is the work approved by this decision shall be in substantial conformance of the application and conditions of approval. Minor modifications to the proposal shall be reviewed by staff. Major modifications to the proposal shall be reviewed by the Historic Preservation Commission. That's the first one. The second one is prior to rebuilding the fence, the applicant shall submit the design of the fence to review with Buckeye.
Is that a motion?
Yep.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the project with two conditions. Discussion on that. So the condition on, did you have to discuss the motion? All right. The condition on a fence, is that even an issue right now? Because is there any fence in the presentation?
There was a solid fence, which is a failing violation.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? If not, those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, moving on to the next item is EBY-16-016. And staff, could you give us a presentation on that?
Sure can. This one should go much quicker than the last one. This one is fairly straightforward and simple. Kruger, representing Catherine Phillips, the property owner, requests a certificate of appropriateness for a 10-foot by 20-foot addition to be placed at the rear or east side of the existing home. The property is located on Channel Lane and is within Design Review Area 1. Channel Lane is a private road, so the proposed addition will not be seen from the public right away, and the building is not near any historic structures. Here is the plot plan for the addition. And the addition, as you can see, is located on the rear, not visible from Channel Lane. Here is the proposed elevation. The applicant proposes it to match the existing building, and I think in your packets you have some images. They didn't transfer well to PowerPoint, so I was hoping you'd be able to look at them. I believe that it is green. Everything is going to match with the existing structure. After review of the guidelines, as indicated in the staff report, the project meets design guidelines with style, materials, and massing, and we recommend approved as proposed.
Okay, are there any questions for staff on this proposal? If not, is the applicant here and wish to speak, or somebody representing me? Thank you.
Again, my name is Terry Kruger. I'm representing Catherine Phillips on this project. And I think it's already been said, it's very straightforward. Our intent is to match the hip roof design that's existing on the structure now. Even the soffit height, everything to tie right in and look like it never was added on to is our intent.
Is there any questions for the applicant? Okay, thank you.
Thank
Is there anybody else from the public who wish to speak on this proposal? Okay, if not, we'll close the public hearing part of this and insert general discussion. And if there is no discussion, I'd entertain a motion.
I move to approve for staff recommended document that we accept EBY 1616.
Second. It's been moved and second. Is there any discussion on the motion? If not, those in favor, please signify by raising your hand. Opposed? Motion passes. Now, moving to the final proposal from the town of Coopville, and I don't have a number on that. Maybe we'll get someone here. Yeah. COA-028-116. And could staff give a presentation on that?
Prior to that, I need to declare a conflict.
No, we have new staff here from the town, and we didn't even give you a chance to give your speech.
I would like to just introduce myself. Owen Dennison. I've been with the town for 2.5 weeks, and before Commissioner Carlson leaves, among my preliminary comments is to apologize for referring to him as Mr. Larson in my staff report. That's my oversight. This application is for some window and door modifications and a new porch roof for a historic building at 501 Northeast 9th Street in Coopville. The reason this is coming forward as a discussion item, and again, my apologies to the applicant as well as the process, is this application was received at a time when the town was between planners, so notification to the public to provide preliminary comment and an adequate comment or notice in advance of the hearing was not provided due to the lack of staff. So we are proposing requesting that the commission discuss this item and provide feedback as possible to the applicant. There are a few issues that will certainly merit the commission's discussion. But perhaps if there is consensus on or expectations of potential conditions or allowances for this application, that could be communicated to the applicant so that they could potentially proceed forward with other design work, and then staff would bring this back for an action item at the May meeting. So with that, again, the site is at 501 Northeast 9th Street in Area 1. It has the location is a corner lot, so that there are two primary facades. The main facade, entry facade, is on the north, facing 9th, but the west facade is in full view of Gould Street. And this is the John Gould House, as noted in the AB's Reserve survey. This is site plan provided by the applicant. So there are modifications proposed around the door on the north facade. There are window and door modifications and the new roof proposed on the east facade. Window and door modifications on the west facade and a window replacement on the south facade. So view of the current current structure, looking at the north facade, it's the east facade, and the modifications are proposed to occur in this area. There is no, an earlier informal proposal had a modification to this current door. That is not indicated on the current application. Staff's expectation that, or assumption that, that nothing is proposed there, that this current door will remain. The east facade, so this is the existing deck, and the roof will come over this deck. So as proposed for the north facade, it's the existing, there are side lights to the front door that are proposed. In addition, there is an existing transom window, and that was proposed to be expanded to be in line with the proposed side lights. South facade, there is an existing window that does not match the other two. That is proposed to be modified just to match existing. The east facade is again existing deck. It's proposed to have a roof over it. The roofing materials would match the existing home, the composition roofing. It would be supported by, I believe it's four narrow poles, consistent with the design of the deck railing currently. In addition, there is currently one door and three windows. The existing door is proposed to be replaced with a double French door, the wood with significant glazing. There would be a matching one replacing the existing window in the north end of this addition. The east or the west facade is staff feels is more deserves closer scrutiny because it is in full view from public view from Gould Street. On this facade, there are two existing windows, and or on this portion of the facade, two existing windows and an existing door. The two windows are proposed to be replaced again with double French doors, again wood framing. And the existing door is proposed to be replaced with a window of the same height as the door, approximately appears the same height as the door. And staff's concern on this is that there are a number of guidelines, as noted in the staff report, that discourage adding new windows and doors, moving windows and doors, and expanding window area. So clearly, this would expand the amount of glazing on that facade. The guidelines also talk about maintaining active use and maintenance of historic structures. And I believe the applicant's intent here is to make this to continue to maintain the home as a, or the structure as a single family home, to increase its utility by allowing more light into this portion of the home. If the commission is inclined to find an exception to the general prohibition or discouragement on expanding windows and creating new window and door openings, staff feels that if this window were removed and replaced with just wall surface, that would come closer to that proportion, maintaining that proportion of glazed to solid wall area. And since this is the area of the proposal where staff had the primary concern, I will leave it on this slide, and that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the staff?
The historic building itself, was the original building just the block in the north
and then there was an extension put on the south, or is that all the original building? Do you know the history of this building and when it was?
I do not. I would defer to Ms. Dean if she may have some more information to contribute to this.
Okay, any other questions for staff? If not, thank you. Is the applicant here and wish to speak?
Yeah, I'm almost hesitant to do so. So,
be sure and sign in.
Sure.
And identify yourself.
Hi, I'm Mark Laska. I own this house. I'll sign in.
There was a question you might help us with that.
Yes, sir. It's contradictory. Historic documents for cataloging of this home contradicts itself both in the register on the prairie. It's been modified, I believe, in your files to say, at first it was said that the contributing structure was the four square portion, the two story spot, and that these were additions. We have a photograph from either 1901 or 1910. Which indicate the opposite side of this house, the eastern facade, as having a covered porch. People that visited there later said that that was enclosed with glass. So that was it's not an addition, but rather a restoration of a feature that was on that side. Also on that photograph, thank you. It's pretty clear that, let me address that question. The interior of the house has architectural features which suggest that this center portion was a cooking porch. There's a well that's been covered up in the floor, and there's a fireplace, as you can see, in the center. The back portion of this house, which kicks out, you can see it indicated by the red solid door. Right next to that, which is not in the photo, is an architectural feature which suggests that that was the carriage house. On this historical photograph of Coopville in 1901 or 1911, there was no street on this side. This is in an alcove. It's set back. I guess if I was going to pick nits, I would say that there are not two character-defining facades of this home, but rather one. The faux gabled roof in the front, it indicates that was the main entry point to the home. That's what people saw. That was, and Gould Street was Gould's driveway, and that's where he would bring the horses in to shelter. The public was never intended to see this side of the home. And the most empirical evidence that I have of this is that while hundreds of photos of this home exist, both from the front and from the east, there is not one to show us what it was on the west. To further indicate that, I'll point out the symmetry of the windows on the four square and the dissymmetry of the windows in relationship to the door on the extension, going back to what I would call the carriage house. Inside, there are different levels to the floor, which indicate that these may have been different buildings and cobbled together at some point. However, it lies under the same roof line on this historic photo that you're looking at. I think that the short answer is we have no idea what this looked like historically on this side. So what your guidelines allow for are modification so that the owner can preserve this house and it can be preserved. We live very differently now than we did 130 years ago when this house was built. Originally, guests, the public, were invited into the front door, where they would be shown into the parlor or whatever to visit. This is no longer the case. The elevation of the street is approximately 8 feet higher than it is on the historic document in front of you. Privacy becomes an issue, of course. But more to the point, there's a moat dug around the home, so which prevents entry from either this side or the front. So my argument would be neither is really a facade. You have to drive in the driveway to come in the back door, which was never intended for, you know, a visitor to see. We tried to do, I'll just share with you that I didn't move to Coopville and then find a home. I found this house and bought it and then moved my family 3,000 miles here. So my job is to be a steward of this home to make sure that it's here 130 years from now. My intended use, as we live now in the 21st century, is that 80% of our time as a family and as individuals are spent outside of that four square portion of the home. What I'm trying to accomplish really, truly, is a great room. And instead of applying for an extension or to build outside of the current footprint of this home, what I'm trying to accomplish is that the dining room, kitchen, and family room have a shared space, which is outdoors, which would be outside of view from 9th Street and on that deck. What I would have preferred was to open up both of those walls on the carriage house and on the cooking porch as French doors and made them all glass. But we had at least two design charrettes, and with all parties concerned, where input would have been greatly welcomed. And while we had a vague notion that that amount of glass would be undesirable for your approval, we modified that considerably to make a compromise from five French doors to just two and an existing aperture that already exists in the door. So, in short, we're talking about expanding these existing openings slightly, essentially doubling the size of the large windows and making the door space in the center just slightly higher to be in line with the windows, which are about 8 feet from the ground. Did I cover everything? Thank you.
Okay, are there any questions for the applicant?
Just one. Mark, on the door that you proposed to replace on that side, is that going to be a door?
Aesthetically, in terms of aesthetics, I don't think it matters whether it's a door or it's a window. Currently, it's a door.
Yeah.
And it would make sense to keep it within the same place and framework. As you can see, this design is well executed and creates symmetry on that side to mimic the symmetry that's on the four square in the window. So I think that all of these design elements really tie the house together.
Well, my question was, if you were going to use that deck out there as kind of a family meeting space, how would you access it without that door?
These two large openings right there would be French doors. There is an existing door on what I call the carriage house. And then there's also that door which is in the dining room.
Any other questions for that? Thank you. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to make comments?
Good morning. This is mainly a pre-application meeting, correct?
We're just
discussing
just all ideas, things that have come up before. I have a couple of...
Sir, can I just really quickly address?
Sure.
In terms of what our hopes are, I think Owen...
This wasn't noticed as a decision meeting. Right?
No, it's not a decision meeting. State Carlson could build, but what Owen said at the beginning of the meeting is even though this isn't a decision-making meeting, what we hope to get out of it are a specific direction from the commission, so that when it does come up for a decision next time, we can come in with the expectation that we've done what needs to be done to get it in order to keep the project moving forward.
Thank you.
I want to review some of the prior discussions that we've had in the informal discussions we've had with Stig and Mark. But I have a couple things to say about the addition of the house. I have the same photos, and I don't know if they're 1901 or 1910. I have marks of both. But we do know that addition was there. It's pretty clear, even though it's not showing what is seen on this side, it is there. I would actually argue that if you remove the door, there is a symmetry to the windows, and those windows that exist match every other one in the house. And so I would argue very strongly that this addition was put up sometime in the historic period. The house was built in 1894, and if we have a photo from the period of 1901 to 1910, and that's there, with matching windows, and a similar kind of symmetry without that center door, which could have happened, we're not sure. We don't have a photograph of that side, so we don't know. But I would strongly argue that it's unlikely that in a later period they would have sought those type of windows to install to match all the other windows there. So I would argue that there is a strong case to be made that is a very important old part of the house. It's not any sort of a newer addition, even though we don't have a photograph of that side.
The mill is right across the street. They could have easily had those
right.
It's speaking
right now.
Anyway, that's a point to argue, but that's what, in looking at the windows, I see that they match all the rest of the windows in the house, and I wanted to make that point clear. So the design guidelines that we've talked about in our informal meetings and through email, I want to turn our attention to those, the ones that actually address this project, to get more specific about what we're talking about. Owen caught a number of them in his staff report, but there's one that he missed that I had written down, and it's section 4.1.2. Talks about buildings should be recognized as a product of their own time, avoiding adding details, trim, or other features that are incompatible with the style and history of the building, or make it more elaborate than it was originally. I want to put that out for discussion. The ones that Owen caught that are in your, of the ones that we discussed, were largely under section 4.1.3, discussing windows, and so that's the main issue that we're discussing. The proportion of the glazing, whether or not this is considered a character-defining facade, or actually more appropriately a primary facade in the sense of that it's highly visible from public right-of-way, what degree that we consider that to be important is an element that we need to discuss. I have a number of different sections of that, and I'm happy to read them unless you guys want to go through them each one. Do you think that's relevant to what we're talking about? You want to go through all the design guidelines specifically?
The ones that you...
You have most of them in the staff report, but just to kind of look at what those are and how they relate to this.
Ones that you think are relevant, this is your time to comment.
Okay. Well, the ones I would like to discuss are under section 4.1.3, the position and arrangement of original windows and doors, the retained size of original window openings. And then again, if additional openings are required, placing them on side or rear rear elevations that are inconspicuous from the public right away. So these are the main things that we've had under discussion as we've been working with this project, and that are continue now to be under discussion. This is a significant change in this elevation, but it's a public right away because of Gould Street. Otherwise, it would be considered a side elevation. So that's something that we need to talk about. I believe the point of making this a continued usable building and the changes necessary is a very valid one. But we're trying to find a consensus between doing that and retaining the character and integrity of the historic house. So if you guys have any questions on any of those, those are the design guidelines that I'm looking at and I would have us discuss. Yes.
Are there any other significant issues with this proposal, since it does occur on three sides? Are there any other targeted problematic areas, or are we looking at these two French doors and the exclusion of the one swinging door? Is that?
If you're asking my take on it, the east elevation is not a primary right-of-way. You still have issues with removing of historic materials and changes that are made, but I find that is, because of its less public view, it falls under the guideline that talks about making these changes on the rear of a building. And I don't have any issue with the front, the primary facade, the front elevation, with the adding of the sidelines.
So functionally, fundamentally, we're just looking at these two French doors and the swing door that's going to go away and be replaced.
With a window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm looking at. Okay. You guys, the whole project is still on the table. Yeah.
Any other questions specifically for Sarah? Or comments? I want to thank you, Sarah. I want to step back to the applicant. And there's a picture that I hadn't seen previously that was circulated. It's kind of cool. But it brought to my attention something that I wasn't sure about on the east elevation. There's like a porch, but it's not covered. Is that right?
It is covered.
In your photograph, it's covered.
In the photograph, it's covered.
It is not currently covered.
And it's not currently covered. And so does the roof become larger? And I guess in my picture here, the part that I think you would call the carriage house or the addition on the back, I don't see that in the existing earth there. It's just totally blended in with the roofing or something.
On the illustration, you mean? So
yeah. And so do we, is it there?
Yeah, that's it right there. That's
that's the proposed.
Distinction.
Oh, yeah. So does the roof get bigger there to make the porch, is what it goes on?
It does.
Does it get bigger on the carriage portion?
No, it does not.
Okay.
So, with the photograph, with the historic photograph that we gave there, what we were doing with the design was trying to use that as a guideline in terms of reinstalling this covered porch. It would be very similar to we wouldn't put nearly as many posts as are in that historic photograph.
So then on that back part of the house there, we have this picture of the east but not of the west, but is there any indications in the structure that you can tell if it's been changed over time? And I would just make a comment that because the windows are matching, doesn't mean it was done in the same time, because I know of instances where actually even outbuildings were built at later dates where they matched the windows to a house, and so. But
the only architectural evidence we have is that we're not seeing a photograph of it. We could see the west coast. Right about here, there's a architectural element that's part of the framing of the house that's a barn door catch. So it leads me to believe that there was a sliding barn door, and that door probably wasn't there. But in fact, even on that historic photograph, we can't even tell that there were walls here. So if this was a cooking porch, it's entirely possible that this was all open.
Yeah. And you've checked internally in the wall for the studs and that?
They appear to be newer, but...
Well, what kind of nails were they?
They were all the kind of traditional nailing, especially But you know what I've really looked at and been able to look at, because I haven't taken off the wall portion, is in this crawl space up above it. And
it, are they cut nails or round nails? Or
I believe that they're they look like square head nails.
So that would indicate that it is off a close thing at the time of the house as well.
And so with that photograph.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Just trying to figure that out.
My house, as Mark probably knows, is just catacornered to his. And, mine was built in 1893, and the portion where the kitchen is at, that was part of the house. And there was a room behind that, which was the woodshed, that was all built as the original house. And I suspicion probably this was at a similar design, probably a Lovejoy-built home. The street, Gould Street, was Coopville Skid Road. We had the Lovejoy sawmill had access to bring timber down that street, which wasn't a street, it was just a dirt path. And there's remnants of the old log dump right at the end of the street there. And so probably that street wasn't very actively used for anything. And it still isn't, except that we're rerouting Front Street traffic has brought a little more up that way, but it's not going on that street. So the I don't see any argument for, the general public saying, well, that's not the way it was as I remember it, because there's probably nobody living anymore that does remember the way it was. On the east elevation, when I first moved over here in 61, that porch was still glassed in. I never did know why they took that all off there. And I don't know if Mark knows it, but the roof burned off that house in about 1970. And it was a shingle roof at that time, and it was replaced with asphalt and sheet. So those are just some of the historical highlights in the last few years. And one significant thing, which we won't discuss, but it's been known by another name since that time, but it's a grand old house, and unfortunately it underwent a very sensitive interior restoration. I don't know what evidence there is of that now, but they took all the lath and plaster out of it and replaced it with sheet rock.
No, it's still in the four square, the lath and plaster still.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It was my understanding that they had removed all of that, so well, that's good.
So I kind of let this astray of our meeting format here, and Ron, your comments are really interesting. In fact, if I should have asked you right from the beginning, what was the West facade originally look like in 1994? Raging and frozen dog.
Well, it was just a sprout. I didn't observe things like that too much.
Okay, I understand that. So, are there any other questions while we have the applicant back up?
Well, just a question. After looking at these pictures, those white posts on the porch in South End, those are pretty prominent features. And you said that you're trying to not have them all duplicate that. Why not?
Well, it's not necessary.
I know it's not necessary, but if you're trying to duplicate them.
It just seems like it would be more visually distracting to do that than a simple addition like we've proposed here.
Just put the thought. Historically, it looks like it was there, and that'd be a pretty dominant feature.
Okay, any other questions? If there is not, then we are going to close the public portion of this hearing.
Could I just make a couple of more comments before we close it?
Okay.
In terms of addressing the staff concerns that have been raised in regards to character-defining features and primary facades, we really never looked at this as being a primary facade or a character defining facade. In the staff report, it talks about a primary defining facade. I'm not quite sure what the definition of that is, but clearly the most visible portion of this house is the foursquare, and the detailing on the foursquare, and the detailing particularly on the north side of the foursquare, is what is really prominent about this house. And the character defining features as we see them are some of the detailing that occurs there. The roof line of the house, the proportions and the scale. What we were trying to do, as Mark said, is adapt this house so that it is livable for the way that, that he wants to live in it, and so it will remain as a residence for the foreseeable future. This side of the house that faces Gold Street. The only reason that we're talking about this as a primary facade is that Gold Street has been built originally, as has been pointed out. Gold Street didn't exist. This was a side facade, and that's sort of the way that we always looked at it. This is a side facade of the house. It's not a prominent facade. Not only that, the area that we're looking at doing the modifications to is stepped back significantly from the face of the foursquare and from the face of the carriage house. So it's recessed back into almost like an alcove area.
Guys,
anything else that you'd like to add?
We were not in here. You guys should have woken me up. I got so endeared in this project that I forgot where I was at.
Just being a good chairman.
Do you want us to talk a little bit more freely as we have a discussion?
Yeah, I just like was engrossed in this.
Can I address some of what Dick was just saying? I think that there is validity to the argument that this is a side elevation. One of the things that I'm looking for, though, is retain the location dimensions of existing door openings. If additional openings are required, place them on side of real elevations that are inconspicuous from the public right of way. So we still have that as an issue of what we're talking about. I'd also like to point out that while, you know, we can debate whether it's a primary facade or not, but a number of the guidelines still apply to this facade, whether or not it is. So we're still talking about amount of glazing, the proportion of wall to window, things like that, things that have a stronger bearing on a primary facade, but still apply to the rest of the house. It's not just keep the front of the house and do whatever you like for the rest of it. We still have good guidelines that apply here.
And I guess the one comment I would make to that is that there is also a section in the guideline that talks specifically about side facades having more flexibility in terms of
compliance with
the guidelines.
It's section 413, greater flexibility may be allowed on side and rear elevations when it's addressing, do not add new window or door openings on character defining facade. So I would argue that there is flexibility here. How much though?
I think the word that we heard there when you read that was may.
Yes.
Therefore, there is you can significant swing room inside the word may. I'll just let you know, looking at this, I find that the additional glazing is distracting to the original symmetry of the building, and I do feel that it's a significant change. Whether or not it's acceptable change, we'd have to have a preliminary report, but I find it significant.
How many homes are there in the west? I mean, there's a brand new home that just completed.
Yeah.
What other structures are along there?
Until last year, it was just a wooded block.
So,
if this came to us, then what they're looking for is if this permit to deal, or is there some change that we want them to do on this? You'd prefer less glaze. Ron, would you?
I believe the comments are talking about that among glazing areas is distracting.
I think one of the fascinating things about these older homes was how little glazing there really was in them and how much substantial wall. Going back to a previous applicant's comment about our weather and the windiness and the Penn Cove, I just think that additional glazing is fairly inconsistent with anything you would have seen here.
It's a definition of glazing. It isn't in the design guidelines and the glossary.
Glazing is the act of putting in a glass piece into something, but it's also a description of the piece itself. So you can say glass or glazing. In this case, it wasn't interchangeable.
Okay.
In where I grew up, a house of this scale almost always would have a solarium. This is not a feature that we find on the prairie. But if this were in the Midwest or on the East Coast, there would be a lot of glass in at least one portion of this room, or one portion of the house.
I think, Mark, that this historic photo showing the east elevation, that may have been a solarium. I never did know what that glass was in there for. It's not the weather side of the house, so it didn't make a lot of sense to have that in there. But it was an interesting feature. I often wondered if they had a solarium or a sanitarium or something in there. Put the patients out there. The Colonel's quarters at Fort Casey that has a very large solarium on the front of it, and that was used during the war as a recovery ward for wounded veterans. But I never did see the connection to that house with this expanse of glass on that side. It was an interesting feature. Too bad they took it off.
I guess one thing I'd say too is to keep in mind, you know, what we're looking at here when we talk about it being distracting to have that much glass on that side of the house is that we're looking at that view of the house that you really never, it's this sort of straight on flat view is that's depicted in a drawing like this is deceptive because it doesn't give the depth that actually exists there between the various facades. So, you know, the view of this house is from an oblique angle, typically, unless you're standing right there in front of it. And I guess I would just keep that in mind when analyzing the views that you're looking at here. I also would say that in terms of consistency, I mean, it was interesting to see the project go through before this. We talked about, as a commission, there wasn't a whole lot of hang-up on adding significant additional glazing and openings on a side of the house where it never actually existed at one point. And I think the argument could be made that view of that east side of the Elkhama residence is at least, if not more, visible than the west side of the view of this home. So in terms of consistency and analysis of buildings, it just
I would like to argue that the difference is the proportion of wall to glass between those two projects, between that project and that.
Well, except
this,
that
the glass takes up the primary part of this wall, and that is not true in this view.
Right, but don't the guidelines talk about portion of wall to glass, they talk about what's being proposed versus what's existing.
No, they don't. Actually, preserve position, number, and arrangement of original windows and doors. Windows should be of traditional size, which should be placed in a similar solid to web relationship as historic buildings. It doesn't say anything about what was there before. It just talks about proportion.
Well, I think you could still say that with the Elkhama building, there's a significant additional proportion of space.
Compared to what was there,
yes.
But it doesn't dominate the entire facade in the way that this does.
Well, I would argue that this doesn't dominate the facade either, because it's just a small section, a little section of the facade.
And I would argue, too, the Elkhama project was adaptive reuse, and this is not changing the use of the buildings at all.
Well, right, but we're still talking about preserving the use of the structure. Right, and the idea behind this remodel is to create a more livable space. I mean, Gil's point of older historic homes having less glazing, not necessarily a good thing. Maybe at the time it was, but not anymore.
Have you thought of one less French door?
Well, they thought of five doors initially, and they're down to two. So
actually, if I could just say, I'll just on a personal note, I'm doing something that I vowed never, ever, ever, ever to do again, which was come before this body to ever ask permission or trigger anything that would prompt your response to me. 11 years ago, when I moved into this house, it needed some paint. And at that time, I had to come before this prior incarnation, this body, to have the paint color of my house approved. So I submitted that, and it turned into a three-hour discussion about which shade of gray the people on this panel was most aesthetically pleasing to them. When I went home the four blocks from here, this clique of would-be designers was in my front yard telling my painter what colors to paint where on my house. And every day for 11 years, I returned to my home in disgust to look at a color that I now call mostly morte. So, you know, the eliminating the existing door with framing and putting in two French doors, I thought kind of exceeded, you know, the scope of what is reasonable. You know, I thought it was my job to do my best to create a conscientious design and bring it to you for your approval, not to say where or what not works best in a home that I live in and function in.
So I think what you're seeing here, and that's why I really got engrossed in this, trying to visualize that. But what you're seeing here is there is some concern among the commission on how much glass is going to be there. A couple of people even, you know, you might even get the indication that they would be voting against it. So you know there's concern. That's why you're here today, to see whether there's concern. So you're not going to be surprised if you come back and there's opposition to that much glass. I'm just trying to think on this. There is going to be opposition. I feel that. Okay. Would you guys agree that if they came in with this, that you're likely to run into opposition or not?
I'm not sure the word opposition is correct. I think that we're being presented with something today that is fairly new. It's we're being asked a very important question about a very important house in a very important community. I don't think that anybody here wants to be flipped or I have to assume you come here to kind of get a sense, and that's what we're offering today is a sense. Because you've not asked for us.
We applied for a hearing. I'm not sure.
Just to get published for public comment.
The thing is,
are we voting today? Is this?
No.
Well,
we can't.
No, because it wasn't published.
See, right. I was going to ram it right down there. I thought for a while ago, but the thing is that this is clearly is almost part of the original house in the dates. I mean, it can't be too much. If it wasn't part of the original house, it can't be too much later than the original part. And so, and it was built, you know, with the materials of the 1800s. It is fairly significant to go in and change that much of that wall, I think. So, it's tough for.
I guess the question I would ask is: is it changing character, defining features of the house? Though? I mean, if we look at that house, but we're talking about what about like primary character defining?
That's a little bit different. But the character defining features are all in the windows.
I think one of the questions that I have for this is the how are the guidelines? Because really, we're just here to interpret guidelines.
And that's good. That's what I
can. And so it's not that so much asking for personal opinion on this. I think it's just a guideline definition. And if this project is presented and it's without doubt within guideline, I think we are obligated without doubt to approve. If there are contentions or conflicts with guidelines, then I think that as a body, we're sort of charged with raising those and saying.
The problem comes in the interpretation.
It does. And that's why we have all of these people up here to come to consensus.
These changes are not prohibited in guidelines.
Well, that they're suggested that you don't do it.
Right.
But there's the word may. And this is a side. This is the side.
And so we have to decide whether this is more change than it's acceptable.
Right. And I think we also, since this is just an open discussion and not a hearing, when you bring the final document to us and you put it down in front of us and you really make us come to brass tacks, then maybe some of us will feel differently. But I think you're just getting a sense that maybe some people, Sarah, other people up here may find that to be a lot later.
So I do need your approval to get a building permit, is that correct?
But I don't believe we're going to vote on that today.
I understand that. But one would need a
certificate of appropriateness
to receive a building permit for any project.
I can't give that advice.
So.
Yes.
That is correct for any non-exempt project. That is correct.
So,
is there any additional direction that we can give them?
That's what I'm just trying to. I mean, I know that there's this issue. I think that the only if it came with this plan, is there any other part of it that anybody would have any problem with? So it's just that amount of whether we're going to think that's too much change, too much the window size of the windows in that building are somewhat character defined, and so we are changing that somewhat, and so I think that's going to be the issue. Does everybody agree with that?
Well,
that's
what's on tap.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I don't assume that I've concluded or that anybody has come up.
I'd rather have you talk openly and frankly.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I need to hear what you all are thinking. And if we can come up with an alternate that we can live with, well, I'd definitely consider that. So.
One of the things I'm thinking about, maybe it's not my, I'm not trying to design it today or anything, but if you took out where the door is now, and you removed that window, you removed that, and I don't know the interior of the house at all, but I'm just thinking.
It would be right in the center of the dining room.
And so if you were to move that and bring the doors closer, more in line with the two windows that are already there.
So you asked me about what's on the inside architecture.
Yeah.
These are really three distinct different areas, if I may.
Yeah, that's right.
So this extension is an enclosed room that was once a carriage house, probably. This is where the kitchen is, and this is where the dining room is. There is indications that there were a wall there. This had to be trussed up in order for there to be any sort of opening.
So where the door is, and there's a window on the left, that's the dining room.
Right here.
Sort of in my mind is I don't even know the work structure. You would take out that middle window and just have to move them closer together.
I don't think that would work because then that would put them totally off center. That would totally put them off center from whatever openings are on the opposite side of them.
what would be the possibility of possibly maybe restoring that glassed-in porch on the east side and swing your outdoor living space?
Well, if we're having a discussion about the amount of glazing that's on this side of the house, I can't even imagine what that discussion was like.
Well,
I mean, that was originally my plan, and to eliminate the eastern wall entirely and to close that area in that way, I could have made a grave. I was led to believe that was not a possibility.
Who led you to believe that, may I ask?
Well, I think that was definitely part of our discussion with design surveys that happened.
Well, I don't believe that was an issue that we discussed here
not
today.
At all. I'd be happy to put in an application, you know, for a whole new wing of the house and, you know, do what I need to do there. You know what I mean? But that's going to mess up. That really would affect the home.
Was this drawing missing from the... That, to me, provides a lot more perspective than what it does, and that seems like all that glazing really recessed quite a way back from Gould Way, or Gould. You know, I understand design guidelines and masks and glazing this, but who's going to object to driving by this? Most people are driving by or walking. You got one house across the street. I think sometimes...
I'd like to comment on that, if I could. There was a comment made earlier about another approved home and whether or not the glazing was more or less. I think we have to be very careful how we vote or how we decide, because we are setting precedent. And to not give this a great deal of attention and thought, I think, would be a problem, because this is a very historic and very important house in this community, and it will be a... If for some reason we choose to stray to the very wide side of the guidelines, I'm not saying we are here, not at all, but I just conceptually want to say, since we're having an open discussion, if we do want to stray real far off the guidelines, we set some pretty scary precedent, and that we should stay very consistent. And this is a good opportunity for us to ensure that we are acting in the best interest of the preserve. This may well be within the best interest of the preserve. We're just speaking metaphorically here about where are we taking decisions.
Well, if we give the impression that we don't have a problem with glass, and we leave here today, then we better not give anybody a bad time to come in.
Personally, I've got a problem with these pre-apps. I don't even think we should have pre-apps. I think the pre-apps should be done with the staff and the applicant, and we should not be seeing it. That's my personal preference, period, but I don't have...
I think it's a waste of time.
I think we're deceiving each other by what we're doing. It's just not appropriate. That's my thought.
The concern is that we will do an informal hearing based on the data that we have in front of us, which... appears regularly, and we won't, and then we'll give it a tacit or implicit approval, and then we sit down, we really just go through it as a review, and then we suggested which way we're going to go on a vote. I think that's inappropriate to do. I think we either make a vote or don't.
I was just going to say, I think part of the frustration here is that there was the issue with it not getting published. Our expectation for timing in terms of trying to get a building permit.
Yeah.
And that's why I made the comment that I didn't, I mean, hoping we would get some direction. In general, I kind of agree with you, Gil, concerned about these pre-app meetings. We did meet with staff twice. Prior to coming to
And I think it sounds like there's been a lot of thought put into this.
Yes.
This is not a decision to be taken lightly. I just think this is a very important house, a very important decision, and we should be very certain that we're doing the right thing.
The pre-op is forgiven, so far as
the applicant.
I think we've done that.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm not sure. I think that the guidance is
considered what staff has done. I mean, that's what you're pointing.
And if I may, just on the other side of the dais, I'm going to say that, to suggest an alternative to what's been presented when there was really conscious and considerable investment in the process of getting it into that, to your desk, and then somebody comes in and says, I don't like that color gray. Essentially, the new and improved body is doing essentially the same thing to me as the other one.
So I'm not sure we've done anything yet.
No, nobody's done anything yet, but I think that's... maybe you can talk amongst yourselves and see if a suggestion like that in the report is precedented or unprecedented, whether that's overstepping the bounds of... if we're going to have an informal discussion, I'd welcome that. I'd much rather be sitting around my dining room table with you all to get some kind of feedback and input, which is what I've done on two different occasions in two different drafts with an architect. And, there's been a lot of time and thought and investment, and, I've been in this house 11 years every day. I use this house. And, there's a lot of thought that goes into this, so...
I'm in the middle of a remodel right now of my entire made living area, so I'm so sympathetic. It's brutal. It's a hard process.
May I make a statement? This whole reserve has been an experiment right from the very beginning, 40-some years ago. We've all struggled that have had anything to do with it to try to come up with the right solutions so that everybody... and have what they want. But we've also endeavored to preserve what we have here, because that's the character of this community. We've lost a lot of significant buildings here because there was no protection for them. And the ones that still exist, we really cherish those. That's part of our community. And that's a 100-and-some-year-old structure. It's not like yesterday you bought it and I don't like it. So, it's got to be modernized. It's like taking an elderly person and putting them in a rest home for their protection. And we're not here to bully folks, even though I know that it sounds like we are. We've tried to do the right thing by as many folks as we can. It's been a big struggle, because like I say, this is not a national park that Teddy Roosevelt designated the United States need to keep. We came here as a group of citizens that were concerned about the rural character of the area when the Smith Farm was going to be subdivided and turned into housing tracts. That was one of the defining characters of why the reserve became a part of this. And I was on the old Historic Advisory Committee that existed before this commission. And we did struggle with paint colors, for one thing. As a small example, the coop house across the street from you was painted the ugliest turquoise you could imagine to match the water in the background, because they felt that was the historical thing to do. Your house was painted with an ugly gray, granted, and it all peeled off.
Three times.
Yeah.
For 3 years.
So
three times more than
I don't think the color of it had anything to do with that. And
well,
I admire the fact that
the manufacturer certainly did, and choosing the color precipitated my choice in the paint manufacturer.
Well, whatever. But
well, we're not talking about color here.
The other theory that we had was we wanted the historic structures to stand out. The new construction and non-significant structures, we wanted them to blend in. So we had no way of coming up with possible solutions on how to do that. Fort Townsend adopted a color scheme for their historic district, and we tried to pattern after that. We still ran into all sorts of difficulties with that. So when this commission was formed, a whole new concept of color scheming was set up. And I think that everybody has had a fair crack at doing what they wanted with that. If the committee...
It's easier for me out here.
Yeah. If some commission or committee was in your front yard down there telling your payers what to do, that was a grave injustice, and I'm sorry that happened.
So, Ron, the thing is we are in a free out.
Yes.
I think we've zeroed in, and there is maybe an issue on this. And so I don't know exactly how to.
So if this is historic,
if I at the same time it might be. This is really hard because it might be okay if he came in with this as an application. But if he goes back home now, spends a lot of time reorganizing it to make some principle, how do we deal with that?
I don't think we can make a preliminary decision. I just don't think we have.
That's my point.
We don't have the authority to do that, and I'm very concerned about the legal opportunity of signaling an answer.
Yeah.
I think that there's an issue of possible concern.
But we judge on the guidelines.
Yeah.
And so if the applicant puts forward a proposal that meets the guidelines, then we're obligated to approve it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to judge on it, is what we're going to do. We're going to make a judge.
That's the judge's point, not our personal opinion on which is great.
Yeah.
We should need to be more.
I mean, the guidelines aren't going to tell us that you can have two French doors and a window there. It's not that crap. We're going to be making a decision.
But we need staff to tell us does this or does this not.
I think that they've heard there could be concerns, but I think it goes. We're just going to have to see an application, and we're going to have to do it.
I hear something. There are people with concerns.
And there's concerns, but maybe not big enough concern. Maybe there's not a big enough concern that maybe we could vote on. I'm not saying we are today, but if this came in here, we might approve this today. And so, what is an applicant supposed to do now?
Well, I just think we're doing a disservice speculating on what we might do.
Just one comment in terms of the interpretation of the guidelines. Something that I oftentimes do is go back to the very beginning of the guidelines and look at the objectives of the design guidelines, because the guidelines were written, and it's in here to be flexible, to provide flexible solutions. One of the goals specifically is prevent flexible and achievable methods for the rehabilitation or alteration of existing structures. And as an overriding principle, I think that does allow flexibility in terms of how you can do that.
But I don't think we can make a judgment that holds water without being able to point to the guideline and saying, as a group, we believe it's either on this side of the guideline or on that side of the guideline.
So
I had a really interesting discussion with Owen. And that's that when things are written, they can't anticipate every possible scenario. So they're going to be nebulous, and they're not going to be black and white. There are going to be shades of gray here against them. And this is one of them, where I, sitting out here, to accomplish my goals of livability and functionality and utility, say, okay, well, this, reading this, I certainly have leeway on the side and by the word name, and
whether it's a character-defining feature or not. I think, conversely, you could argue your point that this is a character-defining feature, that it does have public right-of-way. It's not the side of the house. But in essence, I've got two fronts of the house.
So these are
no future, and that's for you all to work out.
Yeah. So what you're seeing there is that we're not. There is an area of concern. We're not making that decision right now, whether it is character defined or not. That isn't even why we're here. We're here to try to give you some guidance, and I think the best guidance that we that can come out of this is we'll have to. We can't say for sure how we're going to make the judgment whether this fits the guidelines or not.
So would you recommend to me that I just bring this back as is?
I don't think we can signal what we should do. I think that's not the purpose of this organization. I would recommend that if you're still in at all in opposing positions with the reserve or the city, that you work through those so that when we get recommendations from the staff, we concur with that recommendation. I really think that what we do is we review what they've done.
That's well put. Yeah, I agree.
So if every concerted effort is a main concern,
I think it's
that I'm sitting here next month doing the same thing.
Except if it comes to us, we're going to make a decision.
We're a lay group, and these are professionals in this field, and we rely upon them for guidance. And when we're hearing that they believe this meets guidelines, then we'll listen to them. That's important. But I would say meet their needs, meet their compromise with them, and be sure that they're bringing us. And I conscientiously believe that I compromise in such a way as to accommodate the concerns about it.
Well, I think if you're aside from putting it under a glass bubble,
I agree with what Gilbert's saying, but we're not a gatekeeper. So do you believe that it's ready to go forward and move forward? Regardless.
Yeah.
Great.
So I have to be a stickler here. We're losing the room soon. I'm surprised we're not getting kicked out yet.
I think
well, okay. I think so, I think the best thing we can say is that there's some concern, but we can't tell you whether we approve it or not.
I suspect that there may be other information discovered that we go totally different opinion now because of the information. So we'll just use the information that we have when they just presented to us.
Okay. We'll do our best.
I move that this meeting be closed.
Yes.
It's been moved.
I'll second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
I'm just